Let's pray together, please. Gracious Father, share your Holy Spirit with us, I pray. And now, by that same Holy Comforter, may the words of my mouth and the experiments, the wisdom of our hearts be wholly acceptable to thee, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Even Jesus has hecklers. Can you imagine that? Even Jesus had hecklers. In the middle of a good sermon, someone shouts out to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbiter between you?" In 1991, when I first came to St. James, one of our sister parishes, a sweet lady, a very kind lady, came to me. She said, "Pastor, I need to talk with you and ask you about some questions now that I'm on a fixed income." I said, "Wonderful." So we sat down in my office and we said our prayers. And she said, "Would you please look at my income now and tell me about my investments?" I said, "Sister, if you could see my checkbook, you would not ask me about that." You see, the wonderful thing to do is, by the pastor, is to ask for spiritual advice. Don't ask for worldly advice, especially advice about money. I said to her, I said, "You know, you don't want to have that for me, but there is a person in this parish who knows lots about money. Let's go talk with him." And in a week or so we did, and he answered her some good questions. He gave her some good advice and helped her as she prepared for a fixed income. The thing is that's a bit what was going on this morning when this heckler, this man, interrupted Jesus and said, "Teacher, tell my brother to give me half of my inheritance." Well, Jesus didn't just answer his question. Jesus didn't say, "You don't just want financial advice from me. What you need is a spiritual cure." A spiritual cure. Because you see, you're more worried about the money than you are about the brother or the sister or the family. You know, as a pastor, probably some of the worst family quarrels I've ever seen have been about an inheritance. The worst one that I saw, I think, that I can remember, was over a table. And can you trust that? Over a table. Not just about money or land or whatever, but it was a table. Mother gave the table to me. Yes, but Father wanted me to have it. And I mean, these two people didn't talk for 10 years because of a table. Isn't that sad? Isn't it sad that they valued the table, or the sentimental value of that, over the brother and the sister? You see, there was a spiritual cure, a spiritual healing that we needed here. That was the point. And so Jesus gave him spiritual advice in the guise of this parable. Now, we all know about a parable. A parable is a story that in fact has a spiritual, a divine meaning. And so he's told him, he said, "You got to be aware of this." Now let me read a bit of the parable to you, if I may. The land of a rich man produced plentiful, and he thought to himself, "What shall I do for I have nowhere to store my crops?" He said, "I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and then I will store all my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul, 'Soul, John, you read that wonderfully. It was great. I wanted to just jump up and shout, yes. So you have ample goods laid up for you many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.'" That just sounds like the life to me. Doesn't it sound good? "But God said to him, 'You fool, wrong values. What's important?'" The last few weeks, our pastor, Jeremy, has been teaching us about the cost of discipleship. What does it mean? What does it take to follow Jesus? Last week, he talked about prayer and about the Lord's Prayer. And the important thing about the Lord's Prayer is not just that we're telling Jesus what we need, and we're not just saying, "Hear my needs, hear my wants, my fears, my what." But he's saying that there, what we're doing is improving our relationship with our Father in heaven through Jesus Christ. That's why it begins with those important words, "Our Father." To say that means that we're talking to our Creator, and we are created and not the Creator. Isn't that right? So the idea of prayer is important. One part, one bit of the cost of discipleship. What is that cost? First of all, recognizing that we need salvation. You know, the important thing about being a Christian is you have to admit that you made a mistake. You ever thought about that? The most important thing about being a Christian is being willing to admit that you made a mistake. Wow. That you have a sin. Is bearing the cross, willing to share in suffering, carrying the cost of commitment. It is total surrender. It is valuing what Jesus values, and that his values, and that is high. So the cost of discipleship is significant, it's expensive, it takes from us, but also it gives to us, because the cost of discipleship also brings the fruit of discipleship. It brings the fruit, the gifts of what being following Jesus gives us. And that is, to put it overly simply, is to say it gives us a Christian worldview. Now, a Christian worldview means that we as Christians, people who follow Jesus, think differently than a secular worldview. The world that many of us, the most that we all live in, it is a different way that we make decisions in all areas of our lives. And we know that we are not the creators, but the creator. I'm going to straighten my soul up, because if I don't, Lily McGugan and my wife will have a hard time. So. It is to have an eternal view. We're not the creators, but the created. We are all sinners in need of redemption. We forgive as opposed to holding grudges. Have you ever thought about how expensive it is to hold a grudge? It's expensive. It's expensive in the fact that it takes your energy, your thought. It steals your life. So that's what we do as far as the cost of discipleship. It is influences our morality, our politics, and our culture. That's what the Christian worldview does. It is an eternal viewpoint. It is recognizing that there's much in heaven that one day we will inherit it. But right now, we're told to make inheritance. We're told to make investments in heaven here today. So this morning, specifically, as Jesus addresses the heckler in the crowd, it talks about what we value. What we value. Now, you see, this man seemed to value getting half his money as opposed to maintaining his family, the relationship with his family. And maybe you've had to make decisions like that. Is the inheritance more important, or is a sibling more important? Luke 12, Jesus goes on to say this. Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. So your cost of discipleship brings the fruit of discipleship, and it delivers you from the trap of needing just a little more. Has it ever been a problem with you to need just a little more? That we say, well, if I just had just a little more, my life would be just right. If I had just a little more, I'd be happy. If I had just a little more, everything would be working well. If I had just a little more, what is your little more? Is it money? That's true for many of us. Is it a little more patience? Now, I say that, I step away from my wife a little bit, you see, because I worry about that. But do we say, if I had a little more patience, things would be much better in my life? True for most of us. And what if I had just a little more strength, a little more health, a little more energy? Or what about if I had just a little bit better behaved children? Or here's the big one. Are you ready? If I had just a little more time. If I had just a little more time. A few weeks ago, Pastor Jeremy preached a sermon that you'll remember. It was a great sermon, because it was too personal about us. It was a sermon about the cell phones, about all the iPhones we all have, or whatever kind of phone, how we spend so much time on them, and we let this what's on that screen direct us too much, much more than Scripture, much more than Jesus, much more than our faith, and about the internet and all these sort of things. When he finished that sermon, which was a great sermon, after church was over, I went out and said, "Pastor, I love you, but I'll tell you something. I came for a blessing. I didn't come to be convicted." But you know what? Conviction is good for the soul. Amen. It's good for the soul. So today, this morning, be aware of that spirit, that demon of just a little more. If I had just a little more, things would be much better. And remember Jesus' advice. His advice is this: lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust may corrupt, where thieves may break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust may not corrupt, where thieves may not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. But then that begs the question, how do you invest in heaven? How do you invest in heaven? I mean, is it just be good and love Jesus and one day I get to go to heaven? No, because heaven begins here. It begins here, right here, with people we love and know in the body of Christ. That's how we invest in heaven. We invest with an eternal perspective. We invest with Jesus' priorities. We invest with the body of Christ. Now, do you remember where the body of Christ is? The body of Christ is at the right hand of the Father and also right here. You see, this is about our security. You, in many respects, are my security. You, St. John's Parish, you're my security. You're where I know and can place trust that when I have a need, when my life is difficult, that I can get help, get comfort, get prayer. The notes that we send to each other and the prayers we pray, what a wonderful blessing. That's an inheritance in heaven, an investment in heaven. It also is how we bless one another. What a wonderful thing that is. That's how we invest in heaven. So this morning, the cost of discipleship brings the fruit of discipleship. And that is a Christian worldview, that we see the world through the eyes of Jesus Christ, that we know that when it comes down to, okay, Lord, give me, brother, give me part of my inheritance, give me my money, that we know that if I don't get that, the most important thing, though, is my brother or my sister, my family, my church family, the people relationships and the relationship with Jesus Christ. So where do you find your security? In Jesus, but also in the body of Christ, in the people that we love and worship with right now. So, brothers again, sisters, lay not for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust may corrupt, where thieves may break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth and rust may not corrupt, where thieves may not break in and steal. For surely where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Amen.
Following, I dear. Depend.